First of all, we're going to have communion, then after communion we'll have the message. So, communion. Tonight we're going to look from the Epistle of Jude in chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 17 to verse 25. And since Penny has got a microphone, she'll be reading that for us.
Jude 1, 17 to 25. But to you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you very much. So as we just think about those passages of Scripture there, in some sense, as we read that, the path to heaven is very safe. But in other respects, there is no road so dangerous. In the book of Revelation, it tells us as we read the word, take the scroll in, it is very sweet in our mouth. As we start to act it out, it becomes very bitter in our body. It really makes us, challenges us and does all sorts of things to our body, to our being, to who we are. But our Heavenly Father holds us by the arms and keeps us from falling and watches over us day by day so we will not be lost. He goes through all these paths of life with us, the good ones and the not so good ones. Think how prone we are to sin, how strong our tendency is to fall down. If we say we don't have that, we're probably having a bit of a non-truthful event in our life, because it happens to all of us. Even to those of the very best, we can still fall down. That's the hardest thing while we're on earth, isn't it? And the most wonderful thing when we go from here and the struggle goes. Won't it be wonderful though when reflections make us sing more sweetly than we have ever done? Glory to him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the very presence of his glory. But you know, in addition to this, enemies lurk in the ambush. We have an enemy who works 24/7. He loves to trap us. But we have a God too who works 24/7, and we need to talk about him more. The road is rough and we are weak, but in addition to this, we have enemies and they rush out when we least expect them and they try to trip us up. Only an almighty arm can preserve us from these unseen foes who are seeking to destroy us. The Lord is the faithful promised, and he is able to keep us from falling, even in our utter weakness. We have the perfect safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing as we think about those verses there that we've read, that Penny read to us? God is for us, who can be against us? The Bible tells us that. So as we take the meal just now, we're going to have communion, share that meal. We can think about everything that God has done for us in our life. He protects us, keeps us. One thing he does require of us is that we have a unity between ourselves, that we do believe that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, and that he wants us to be together in a unity. Even sometimes when we're rubbing each other up, even sometimes when we don't feel so good, God still wants us to love each other and care about each other. And remember, it is not about me. It is not about you. It's all about Jesus. And as we just take this meal, we remember what it's all about. As we take this biscuit, it represents the body of Jesus Christ that was torn and broken for us and hung upon a cross. In a physical sense, we can see that. He paid the price, the wage of our sin. He was the perfect sacrifice that could pay that price. No other thing could pay that price. And he hung upon that cross and he died. And he said these words, "It is finished. It is finished." By the time that he died upon the cross, he could say that word. The work of salvation had been finished. He went down into the ground for 3 days and he led forth a whole lot of captives, and he come back as the first fruits of the new creation that he gives to us. He is that first fruits of the new creation. And he brings us back to be part of that first fruits. So as we take this biscuit, we see what happened in his body, the debt that was paid for us. So let's take and eat. Thank you, Jesus. Let us just take this cup. This cup represents the blood of the covenant, the blood that seals the covenant, the blood that gives us remission from sin, the blood that keeps us in fellowship with Almighty God. The blood of Jesus Christ. As we drink this cup, we can see that picture of Jesus upon the cross and his blood flowing out from his side, keeping us in eternal covenant. Let us take and drink in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ. We thank you for that perfect gift, Lord, a gift that we could not have done ourselves. We definitely could not have done, a gift that you did for us. You gave us your Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life and never perish. You sent him into the world to save mankind for eternal life. We praise you, Lord, and thank you that the life that you give us in Jesus Christ is eternal. It is not just given to be for a couple of years. It is eternal. It is a promise from you. And we thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who saves us and keeps us. Praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1. And really it is a verse that we should know off by heart. We all know that verse by heart, don't we? What does it say, Agnes?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. We are to, in Christ, by the mercies of God, present our bodies to serve God. A lot of talk goes on about we give our heart to the Lord and it's our spirit, it's all that. And we often leave out our bodies. And the church has done that, particularly in Australia, to its own detriment, because lots of silly things have happened. Because God is very interested in what happens in our bodies. We need to present our whole being to him so as he can work in us. So we receive from the Lord every day the fruits of his mercy. Even the very breath that we take for our bodies is a gift from God. We don't even think about it, do we? We just keep on breathing and we just pray that God just keeps on thinking about us breathing, don't they? Because what about if he forgot? There'd be big strife in our life. Let us render ourselves all we are and all we have, all we can do, and after all, what return is it for such very rich receivings from the Lord? He gives us our body and he's concerned, wants to be involved in what happens in our bodies. Is it acceptable to God? Is my body given as a reasonable service? We are able and ready to give a reason for, in which we understand conversion and sanctification are the renewing of the mind, a change to the qualities of God. Progress of sanctification, dying to sin, more and more, and living to righteousness more and more. The Lord gives us a lot to help ourselves with, but as a response, we turn to Him in a response to show Him that we care about what He's doing for us, to show Him that we love Him back. It's not just a matter of take, take, take. But without God, we can't do it. But with God, we can. Progress of sanctification. Dying to sin more and more. Living to righteousness more and more. Carrying on this renewing work till it is perfected in glory. Till we get up to there to live with the Lord in glory. I guess the old Eddie Turpin would be up there now and he would be seeing what God can do. Sometimes you envy people who get that, but that's wonderful too. He served God for 60 years, which is a long time on earth. He lived for 93, but he served Him for 60 years. And one of the things that they said about this man was that he never said a bad word about other people. He had a lovely word to say all the time. And even when people said bad words about him, he said good words about them. It's a bit hard, isn't it? It's very nice, very easy to be nice to someone who's nice to us, but it's not so nice, not so easy to be nice to someone who isn't. So we need to be involved in the carrying on of this renewing work within us till it is perfected in glory. You know what the greatest enemy to this renewal is? It is conformity to this world, fitting in or bending with the world, being the same as everyone else. If there is one thing I like about COVID, it's that people actually saw we can be different sometimes. Those who went along with it and those who didn't. We don't always have to believe everything. We are not to fall in with the customs of those who walk in the lusts of the flesh and mindful only of earthly things. The work of the Holy Spirit first begins in the understanding and is carried on to the will. Affections and conversations, till there is a change of the whole man into the likeness of God and His knowledge. I'm not talking about information, and He's knowing God. And in His righteousness and His true holiness. To be godly is to give up ourselves to God. It is only as we surrender our will and present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God for His perfect will, that we begin to live in the purposes of God. I'll just put it this way. You know, our baby dream that we have for our life, I hope everyone here has some sort of dream for their life, because we need to start somewhere. I think it is one of the things that has crippled the world a lot today. So many of our young people have not been instilled with a dream. But if you have a dream, you can swap that to God for His gobsmacking dream for your life. Something you couldn't believe, the thing that He can do for you. When people don't have a dream in their life, they are hopeless. I don't mean to say they can't do things without hope. It's a sorry thing to be in. And God wants to give us a dream. And part of that dream is using our body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Penny, you look like another good reader.
Okay, so Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have asked for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame. Who set their minds on earthly things?
It is the cross that has the measure of sin. Every sin, even the very least, makes men enemies of the cross of Christ. But He has paid that price there. It was sin, so to speak, created the cross. Sin made a redeemer necessary. It opened some deep breach in the order of life and in the unity of God's kingdom, which could be no way healed but by the atonement. If there had been no sin in the world until now, the sin we have committed, each one of us this day, would have demanded the sacrifice and reconciliation of our guilt. Sin always frustrates the work of the cross of the Son of God. It demanded his death, and the cross defeated the wage of sin. It brings about the mercies of God, and it wars against the cross by direct hostility. Sin first makes the cross necessary, and then the cross makes sin fruitless. Without God, we are without hope in salvation. We cannot work for our salvation, we cannot earn it, but God gives it to us. We are in a wonderful place, really. The cross paid the wage of sin and makes us friends with God. Put your faith in that. It is by faith, through grace, that God saves us. It is a gift of God. While everywhere on earth, the work of the cross will be ongoing. You know, you remember the story about Paul on the road, Saul, Saul. He cries out to him, "Why do you persecute me?" It's no mere figure of speech, but a very deep reality that sin makes every soul that willingly offends an enemy of God. Sin of every type makes one an enemy of the Saviour, and it is only the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, that defeats sin. God does not put anyone in hell. God does not put anyone in hell. He welcomes all and accepts all. It is us who refuse him who go to hell. We need to understand that. God came into the world to offer the whole world the privilege of salvation. All we have to do is accept it. If we don't accept it, we reject him. It really is all that simple. Ernie's going to read me a verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Verse 17, what God creates, can any man uncreate? He cannot. Please understand that. What God creates, no man can uncreate. But I just want to just mention one thing out of this whole verse where we get it wrong. We think we're a new creation, it's all good. When a woman has a baby and the husband and the wife go up to the hospital and bring the baby home, the baby gets up and does the washing up and cooks the meals and looks after the parents, doesn't it? In your wildest dream. Somewhere Christians get this little point wrong. When you become a new creation, there's a key word in there, it's called new. You are a new baby in the Lord. You then began to take the baby steps to grow up. Okay? And a lot of people think, I become a new creation, bango, I'm up there, outside, telling people what to do. When God saved Paul on that road to Damascus, it was years before he did that. He knew a bit more about the scriptures than we did too, by the way, even at that stage. You can know all about the scriptures. You can know all about your family. But if you don't know your mum and dad, you don't know much all about your family, do you? And that's what it's all about. Let's know our dad, our saviour. We are the new creation, a little baby child growing up. And even though we think we're on this earth for a long time, 60 years is a long time to serve the Lord. Eddie told me, I'm a baby. I am a baby. Even at 60 years, I am a baby. Let's pray. Father, as we think about your word tonight, Lord, that you impart truth of that word into our life, that we would understand that. That, Father, you have saved us out of this world unconditionally. You have saved us, the whole being, body, soul, and spirit. It was the measure of the cross that saved us. The wage of sin is paid for, and we are free from that burden, Lord. But Lord, we are not free to not to serve you and to grow up with you, Lord. And Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit to teach us every day more and more about you, Lord, to be able to grow up to the fullness of Jesus Christ, the stature, the full stature of the Lord. Praise you and thank you, Lord, for this night being here. But Lord, as we just go to live our day tomorrow, may we start to grow more and more to be like Jesus. And I want to thank you, Father, for me too, personally, in Jesus' name, that you grow me each and every day. I thank you for that, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.